Well, if you will turn in your Bibles quickly to Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. It says this: "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." As I was preparing for this verse and for tonight, I thought it was very ironic that I get to teach this verse, because I'm the only teacher on Wednesday nights who is unmarried. So let's talk about children. So three things we're going to talk about tonight, or three main sections. I divided this in two. So tonight we're going to talk about the two interpretations of this verse. We're going to look at the verse itself, and then we're going to look at a very brief overview about what the Bible and Proverbs says about children as it relates to the verse. So, two interpretations of the verse itself, what the Bible and Proverbs says about children. There are two ways to interpret this verse. And if you're like me, I hadn't heard of the second one we're going to be talking about until I got into college, and a professor of mine shared it with me. One is more popular, and the other is just not as well known. And I want to be clear that I believe that the Bible has one meaning, one interpretation. That's something that this church holds to as well. However, that doesn't mean that in some cases it isn't wise to present both options of interpretation. And in this case, I'm going to mention both, and then I'm going to dive into the interpretation that I think is correct. And I'll share why I think that is as we go along. So the first interpretation is positive. You train up a child in the right way, the biblical way, and they will stay on that path the rest of their life. That's kind of the first one. That's the more popular understanding of this verse. And the second is this. It's negative. It's a warning. It's you let that child go in his own way, and he will stay on that path into old age. So the positive, a promise. Second, the negative, a warning. I believe that both these interpretations can be argued for, and are also, you know, no matter which one you choose, you can be biblically accurate with both, I believe, even though I believe there is one interpretation. So it does matter what you choose, but in another sense, they can both be squared with biblically. I believe that the negative interpretation, the warning, is the right interpretation. And I'm going to explain why. So, I also hold this interpretation loosely, and I'm willing to be corrected in the future. And I also believe when we come to this verse, a lot of damage has been done with this verse and other verses like it when you look at Proverbs, because many people have taken a verse like Proverbs 22:6 and have treated it like a for sure promise. And it's, they take it as, if I do A, then B happens. If I train up the child the right way, then they will be righteous, they will be saved. And when that doesn't happen, they're kind of left with, you know, three or four options. It's, you know, I failed as a parent, therefore my kid isn't saved. My child isn't saved, but he will eventually turn around. You know, so I trained him upright, he just kind of went off, did his own thing, and eventually he'll come around and be saved. Or, you know, so maybe a false hope. Or God has failed in his promises because I raised my child in that way and God didn't fulfill his end. And then the last kind of option you're left with, if you have a child you raised the right way and they didn't end up like that, is I've misinterpreted the verse, or I misunderstood it. So remember from previous times we've talked in Proverbs that when you look at Proverbs, they're not meant to be taken as, you know, hard and fast promises. They are still from God, but they are generally true statements about the world, not promises about what will happen. So you shouldn't look at this verse as a promise from God. It is a direction and wisdom from God, but not a set in stone promise. So when looking at the verse itself, there are two main things that lead me to believe it's the negative interpretation or the warning. You know, don't let a child go in his own way, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. The first is the context. So if you look at the surrounding verses, verses 5, 6, 7, 8, they're all warnings. They're all warnings. So 5 is basically keep away from evil or suffer the consequences. 7 is don't borrow or suffer the consequences. 8 is don't be unjust or suffer the consequences. So they're all warnings about what not to do. So that's one, and that's kind of a loose justification for this. But then if you look at the verse itself, and most verses should be taken by themselves in this section of Proverbs, the second main thing is the grammar. So, yes, I know we all love talking about grammar, but it's helpful to look at the verse itself and the Hebrew and what it says. So if we look at the verse, it says, train up a child in the way he should go. That's how most translations translate it, from the King James to the NASB to the NIV. It's all some form of that. And the word here for train up, it means dedicate. So it's Hanuk, the idea of dedication of a house or a temple. It's used like 5 times in the Old Testament, usually in dedication of the temple. It's the same word we get the word Hanukkah from. So the idea here is you dedicate a child, or you start off a child, a youth, a young man. And the idea here is not continuously training, right? It's kind of you just start them off. And the second part, instead of train up, in the way he should go, in the way he should go. The words should and go, those verbs, are not in this verse. The translations kind of add them. And the reason that they do this is because Hebrew has a lot of weird idioms, like phrases that don't directly translate. I'm not an expert in all this, but it's hard for translators to directly bring it into English. So the literal interpretation of should go or his way, it's the way of his mouth. The way of his mouth. And that sounds weird in our phraseology. Like, if you said that, no one would know what you're talking about. So whose way is it talking about here first? Well, if you notice in the verse, it doesn't say God or Yahweh. So it's not Yahweh or God. It's the child's way. The way of his mouth is the way of the child's mouth. Okay? And then the phrase itself, the ideology, way of his mouth, typically refers to either what someone has said or will. For example, the will of the Lord in Leviticus 24:12. That same phrase is kind of used there. So the will of the Lord. Taken this way, you can read the verse like this. Dedicate a child according to his own will, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You can even catch this a little bit when you go and read the Legacy Standard Bible. It says, train up a child according to his way, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And so it's kind of like concrete, you know, time will harden what you let set, essentially. As a child grows old, if they've been let to have their own way, they're very likely not to depart from that anytime soon, even apart from the grace of God. Yeah. Proverbs 19, verse 18 says this, discipline your son while there is hope, and do not direct your soul to put him to death. Discipline him while there is hope. You got a limited time frame as a parent to raise up your child. Okay, so we've talked about the two interpretations. We've talked about the verse itself and just why it would be the negative, the warning to the parents. And does this match up with what the rest of Scripture says? Okay, so third, what does the Bible and Proverbs say about children? Okay, there are many places in Scripture where we are commanded to train up a child in biblical ways. Many of you are familiar with Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You're also probably familiar with Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our God, Yahweh is one. You shall love Yahweh your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall speak of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. So the Old Testament and New Testament agree we should be raising up children in a biblical way, the right way, in the fear and admonition of the Lord, where discipline and correction are involved. So why is this necessary? What does the Bible actually say about what a child is? So first of all, children have a sin nature. Children have a sin nature. So, Psalm 51, verse 5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. And again in Psalm 58, verse 3, it says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. Those who speak lies go astray from birth. So, children, I mean, I probably didn't need to tell you that. You knew that your child was a sinner probably from a very young age. They're not innocent little angels. It's just that their capacity for evil is limited by their ability and size. You know, if a child was grown up like an adult, like having an adult's body and had kind of the same powers and responsibilities, they would be crazy. They'd be nuts. They would do whatever they wanted. It would be bad. They have to be taught. Not to be sinners, but to be righteous. So, children have a sin nature. Two, children are not mature and are easily swayed by false things. Children are not mature and are easily swayed by false things. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, when I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, it says, as a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. Children will believe pretty much anything you tell them. I once told my younger brother Jack when he was about, I don't know, 4 or 5, that when fat people got too big, they would explode. He believed me. Took him a while to set him straight on that one. But I think you can see both of these principles kind of summed up in one idea in Proverbs. So children have sin nature, children are not mature and are easily swayed by false things. And three, children are fools. And this is seen very clearly in Proverbs. It's seen in the very need for Proverbs, actually. So part of the purpose of the book is stated in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 4. It says, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth, meaning young men, including children. Why do young men need prudence, knowledge, and discretion? It's because they don't have those things. There are a number of different kinds of fools in Proverbs. One is the kind of fool who is naive. They don't know things, and therefore they're just foolish. They don't know the right way. Another is the one who knows the truth and rejects it, knows wisdom and rejects it. And the child kind of falls under that naive category. They don't know things, yet they still have a sin nature. They still do wicked things. And Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15, if you're going to memorize any verse in this, this might be a good one. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15 says this, folly is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it from him. The most natural way of a child is foolishness. And, you know, fools think they're right. I remember, again, when we were little, one of my siblings was very stubborn. I'm not going to name names. But he believed that the sky was purple. And we're like, no, it's blue. No, it's purple. So children are fools, and fools follow their hearts. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15 says this, the way of an ignorant fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. Why is this important, and how does it kind of relate to our verse? Well, right now we have parents in society who not only let children have their own way, but are leading them into folly. You know, we have parents who convince their children that they're the wrong gender. We have parents who let their children do things that are not right, not good, and encourage them in those things, in lying and manipulation. You know, a child left to his own way will be naive, and they will be in more spiritual danger than if his parents were guiding them. And the wording to parents is kind of this, is don't have a child-led household. Don't have a child-led household. They are foolish. Honestly, you need a wise balance of spanking and speaking. You need reproof and discipline. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15 says this, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. One person put it this way, a child let loose. A child let loose. A child left to his own way. And so I ask you this, if you're a parent, are you letting your child have their own way? That doesn't mean you domineer over the household. Your discipline and correction and reproof should be guided by love and the word. Love for your children, desire to see them in a godly way. But they shouldn't be leading you by the nose wherever they want to go. If you are not married, are you still going your own way? Are you listening to the counsel of others? And, you know, this instruction to parents, this warning to parents, assumes that the parent themselves are already wise. You know? And if you feel that pressure as a parent, and, you know, I don't know what that's like yet, Lord willing, one day I will. But I do want to encourage you with one thing, one final thing. You know, is a parent responsible for the choices of their child? Ultimately, no, it's that child's choice. The parent is responsible to do their best, to be faithful according to what they know and understand, and And even a perfect parent has children who rebel. So if you look at Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2, it says this: "Listen, O heavens," and this is God speaking through Isaiah to the nation of Israel. He says, "Listen, O heavens, and hear, O earth," in kind of, you know, judgment. "Sons I have reared and brought up," this is God speaking, "but they have," revolted against me. God, the perfect God, loving, caring, kind to his people, providing for them, blessing them, and yet they still rebelled. If you're a parent, you can do everything perfectly and still have children who end up unsaved, unregenerate, and not following the Lord. And it's because you can't save your child. I've known many godly men who have had children walk away from the faith. And that is discouraging. But on the encouraging note, the Lord has them in his hands. If he was going to save them, he will save them. And it's your duty to raise them up in the fear of admonition of the Lord and not let them go their own way while they're in your house. Well, that's all I have for you. I hope that was encouraging. I'm going to go take the prayer sheets and pass them around.
Thank you.